Now, O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself. Amen. 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 Please do be seated. So what is it they say about waiting for one bus to come along? You wait for one and suddenly two come along, or three, as in the case of miracles today. I imagine in our group gathered here today, we will have people who will say that they have experienced a miracle in their lives, or someone they know will have. Of course, we will all have different ideas of what a miracle is. A definition in the dictionary is an extraordinary event taken as a sign of the supernatural power of God, or an extremely outstanding or unusual event, thing, or accomplishment. I was having coffee with someone the other day who said that they had experienced a miracle and then told me how they had a great fear of an exam that had been coming up, and they prayed about it before they took it and then said it went so well, just like a miracle, better than anything they could have hoped for. Well, they haven't had the results yet, so we shall see how well it did go. But we do hear of miracles of good health being redeemed, of people escaping disasters. Like I say, here today, we will have such accounts to share. And in the Bible, during this ordinary season of the church calendar, which I always say is far from ordinary, we hear of what Jesus was doing here on earth whilst he walked amongst us. His miracles of healing are just given a short mention today. It says a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick, the signs of his power, the miracles. And Jesus throws out the question, maybe like a parent or as a teacher would do, wondering what their pupils had been learning. And he says, what shall we do about feeding all these people? And Philip says, well, there's nothing we can do, well, apart from buying the food. But Andrew says, well, we have a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He must know that that is too little, but he's saying, well, we have this, an offering. Can you, Jesus, do something with this? Andrew has made an offering before to Jesus, of bringing Simon Peter to Jesus, a new disciple. And think how well Simon Peter grew in service. This time, Andrew offers this little boy with his small lunch. He brings him to Jesus and says, well, we have this offering from this little boy. And 5,000 people were fed. The miracles continue in our gospel reading today with the disciples finding themselves in a storm on the lake. And then they see a figure coming towards them, walking on the water. Further alarm overcomes them, that then they hear the voice of Jesus calling out, it is I, do not be afraid. And before they even want to take him into the boat to join them in the storm, they find themselves at their destination. Suddenly in the storm, with the arrival of Jesus amongst them, they are safely home. So as I say, with buses, you wait for one and two or three come along. Jesus feeding the 5,000, him walking on the water. In our Old Testament reading, the 100 men being fed with 20 loaves of bread and some fresh ears of grain. And we're taught in the Bible, from small seeds, big things can grow. With these miracles, from small offerings, many are fed. And when we are in need, Jesus will come to us. Miracles happening since the beginning of time. So how do miracles that Jesus did in the Bible help us today as Christians? Well, it is wonderful to read these accounts in the Bible. They are so important for us today as they were for those when Jesus did them. We do not experience the actual miracle, but they are proof of Jesus being the Son of God, of his relationship with God, our Creator. How else could he have done them? We may dispute that they really happened, but with the writings in 4 Gospels, indeed the whole Bible having been examined in so much detail, Well, it is impossible to think that these are not accounts of events that happened. The whole Bible has been so thoroughly inspected, and in the New Testament, our writings are verified with non-spiritual writings of that time. They confirm the works of Jesus. They speak of this miracle worker that was walking on the earth. And with Jesus now watching over us from the heavenly realm, we can feel confident he has the power, the authority to hear our prayers and act on them, to help us day to day. And miracles are happening today. As I said at the beginning, we would have examples of those with us sitting here today. I was speaking to someone about miracles a few days ago, and they said they see miracles daily in creation, how a flower grows, how a seed takes root and grows. And how about the skies clearing after forest fires? And we are hearing of so many in Canada at the moment, and new seeds sprouting up. The survival of the environment and humans following global disasters, they're miracles. And how families, individuals survive disasters in their lives. So if miracles are happening today, how do we respond to them? So I can give an example of how we can respond to miracles. I'm going to call it give thanks and do something. My son was in Nepal climbing in the mountains when the earthquake struck. It's almost 10 years ago now that big earthquake happened in Nepal. He said they clung to the mountainside and they shouted under overhanging rocks, which could have broken off and crushed them. But somehow, miraculously, they all survived. There were six of them climbing. So sometimes when we survive something, or we get a miraculous healing or a big windfall in our life, we give thanks and then think, what can we do for others? Which is what my son and his friends did. They made their way to where they could buy a vehicle, fill it with supplies and take it back to the villages, to those people who were in need. And they stayed there 4 months helping with some sort of reconstruction of people's lives. So what about us here today as we go about our lives? Those who receive food in the food bank or much needed bags from the Baby Basics, they have said to me, it was a miracle to receive those things. It's a real lifesaver to have those items. And I know firsthand because I've delivered such items in my work as an outreach worker before I got ordained. And even since I have been ordained, I've delivered them. We become part of miracles, helping those in need. And when we drop in on a lonely friend at just the right time that they needed someone to speak to. And when we contribute to call-outs for crowdfunding online for some charity or need. When we join in the requests for prayer and healing, we become part of the miracle. We make our offering and God multiplies it. The third reading for today was a letter from Paul to the Ephesians. And part of it is written in the form of a prayer, which Paul starts, I fall on my knees before the Father and I pray. I'm going to read a part. I'm going to read a part of what he prays. I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love, so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, that you may come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. To him who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. A prayer that Paul wrote for the people of Ephesus and for us Christians today. miracles still do happen today. Amen.